Continuation of Chapter 5. Sunday, June 3rd, 2007, 11 a.m. Terry Macklin could not get a sense how his message was being received. There wasn't the usual amens, and he was sorely tempted to skip over the next part of his message, but instead took a deep breath and let it fly. Because of pulpit power, there's a huge gap between the person you and I are and the person our congregations perceive us to be. This, my brothers, is more dangerous than most realize. We can and often do begin to use our congregation as a mirror. We see ourselves through their faulty perspective, and our self-image gets distorted. The tendency is to play the part of that distorted person we imagine ourselves to be. We begin to live a life of pretense. In short, we become Pharisaic. Power still corrupts. Most of us, if not all, have been ill affected to various degrees from pulpit power. I think of the pulpit as the God maker. Given sufficient time, it'll make a spiritual superstar out of any ordinary person. Every time we appear before the people to impart our perspective, we are amplified in their sight. To them, we appear to be bigger than we are. We do our best to impress. We wear an expensive suit, keep our hair trimmed, shoes polished, hone our mannerism. And we do impress. We make ourselves appear to be something we are not. Like most orators, we do not bring our true self to the podium. We bring the person the people want and expect us to be, the person we want to believe we are. We denounce hypocrisy, and yet often are the most counterfeit person in the congregation. Our motives may be honorable. We want them to trust us so they will follow us. We want to protect them from erroneous teachings and deceitful men. Nonetheless, the end does not justify the means. There is no justifying duplicity. I say again, pulpit power corrupts regularly. It elevates us from the common to the elite. What the stage and lights do to the rock star, so the podium does to the pulpiteer. Our people see us as someone special. We grow in their sight with each dissertation. They want our company much more than we want theirs. Everybody wants to reach, to touch, to associate with the man in the pulpit, and our love-starved hearts revel in their adulation. We like to think our only motive to excel in pulpit ministry is the welfare of the people. I remind you of Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things. The one who trusts his heart is the one most likely to fall." Simply said, most of us are incapable of handling the attention and adulation the podium affords. Our loneliness makes us susceptible. Personally, I don't have a friend in my congregation, not in the buddy-buddy sense of the word, and some of you have shared the same dilemma. There's a wall between the minister and layman that cannot be breached. You see, the people we minister to cannot be real toward us. Their tendency is to impress us, so they are overly cautious. With good reason. They sense that it would be most detrimental to displease the pastor because the pastor has an inordinate influence over their lives. They need us to succeed. Can you see it? First, we convince them through the pulpit they must attend church regularly. Then we teach them through the pulpit teamwork, unity, submissiveness to leadership. Don't you see the leverage that gives us? Can't you see the potential for abuse? We never say so directly, but they understand they need our approval to succeed within the church. For most, opportunity to serve God requires our permission. There is a breach between them and us. We can't invite one to supper without inviting everyone. My best friend is an alcoholic, an ex-Marine bud who lives an hour away, whom I seldom see. If it were not for my family, I would be alone. I'm with people often, but I'm lonely. And so are many of you. Loneliness can be dangerous because it's tempting to compensate for our loneliness with people's adulation. I say to you this morning, if you cannot approach the pulpit in real humility, I would suggest you do not approach it at all. The pulpit coupled with pride will destroy you. When the minister is destroyed, the assembly is at serious risk. It's difficult to measure your influence, be it good or otherwise. A proud man is incapable of affecting positively. There have been instances within our own denomination when entire assemblies have been split and broken by errant pastors who forsook denominational doctrine, replacing them with ear-tickling half-truths. Sunday, June 3rd, 2007, 11 a.m. David Thomas and his wife squeezed each other's hand, signaling to each other their delight in what they were hearing. Donald and Mrs. Williamson scowled. Tony Borick grinned. Brent Anderson and his wife looked like a pair of owls, eyes wide open, staring at the plumber-turned-preacher. Sheldon Waters listened intently, seemingly entranced by Reuben's bold and piercing statements. Sean Edwards was in tears. Nelson Chesney seemed to be eating his fingernails. You have distanced yourself from your first love. The light within you has not gone out, but has acutely diminished. The light of Christ within you has diminished. The fire of love is no longer ablaze. You once loved Jesus more, much more, than you love him today. How could he know these things? Sheldon Waters wondered incredulously. How can a plumber, an usher, presume to know the hearts of the people? I'm an elder and I can't see into the spiritual condition of the people. You once loved Jesus much more than you love him today. You once were filled with the Holy Spirit, but no longer. Amen, David Thomas said, much louder this time. you are no longer filled with His Holy Spirit. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, if you no longer have an enthusiasm for Christ, if Christ is not the focus of your life, you are not filled with His Holy Spirit. You are not filled with His Holy Spirit. And you must know that your relationship with the Father is no healthier than the relationship you have with the Son. The teens grouped at the back of the church seemed to be listening with intensity, several leaning on the pews in front of them as if to get closer to the preacher, as if that would somehow help them better grasp his words. But not Kyle Macklin. Kyle knew the story that got Mr. Tanner the pulpit, how he challenged his dad's authority by appealing to the board, how he brought division to the elders, how his appeal threatened the unity of Bryden Falls Community Christian Center. The pastor's son, he had more savvy than most and wasn't going to be fooled by all this Jesus talk. No way. The man was a usurper, a pretender with corrupt motives. It was apparent to all that his mom was upset with the plumber's presentation, and he felt his father's ministry was being disrespected. Like his mother, like Mr. Williamson, like several others in the church, he stared straight ahead in protest. Don't be deceived. Your relationship with the Father is no better than the relationship you have with the Son. Well, husband, Vivian Macklin spoke to her faraway husband, you certainly chose a great time to be gone. This man is bruising our people, and you're away at a conference. You must know that your lukewarmness is contagious. Amen, the young elder said again. Amen, said others. Your lukewarmness is contagious. You affect others negatively. You affect others negatively. Your influence is harmful. You must know your lukewarmness cannot be concealed. Your influence will cause others to be lukewarm. Your lukewarmness is contagious. How can a man be so brutal? Donald Williamson was becoming increasingly agitated with every remark Reuben Tanner made, with every discomforting pause between statements. He thought of shutting the man down, considered walking to the front and telling the people to go home, just go home. He would have done so if it were not for Thomas's supportive shouts of Amen. Were there other elders as deceived as Thomas? Do you hear me? Your lukewarmness is contagious. Parents, you must know that you influence your children to be lukewarm toward Jesus Christ. Great. Vivian said to herself. Now he just insulted every parent. Not one adult or teen in the church was unaware of Vivian Macklin's stony, straight-ahead stare and the protest it represented. You influence your children to be lukewarm toward Jesus. Teenagers, your lukewarmness influences younger children to be lukewarm in their affection for Jesus Christ. Young people, younger children look to you for an example, and your example is not good. All in the church building knew they were dead center in a conflict. All felt the heat of battle. Most were indecisive, not knowing to agree with the Amen people or the stare straight ahead people, both groups growing in number. Some considered themselves victims. Church was supposed to be a place of safety, not a battleground. There was no place to go, no place to hide. They were forced to hear. If only you could get a glimpse of heaven. If only you could see Jesus in all his glory sitting at the right hand of the Father. Five minutes in heaven. And your lukewarmness would instantly dissipate. A glimpse of the Master's face would bring you to your knees in repentance. Five minutes in heaven would cause you to stop laying up treasures on earth. Five minutes up there would cause you to stop laying up treasures down here.
My brothers and sisters, young people and old, it is imperative that you turn back to Christ. It is imperative that you turn back to Christ. It is imperative that you turn back to Christ. Amen, said David Thomas. Amen, said Sean Edwards. Amen, said Tony Borick. The Bible is clear. The richness of your eternity will be relative to the relationship you develop with Christ here on earth. Your eternity will be relative to the relationship you develop with Jesus Christ. A lukewarm relationship with Jesus will cause you to suffer loss of eternal rewards. A lukewarm relationship will cause you to be unproductive in the extension and maintaining of God's kingdom here on earth. A word of caution. It is a serious mistake to approvingly compare yourself to other evangelical Christians. Sunday, June 3rd, 2007. 11:25 a.m. Mac related to his fellow ministers the details of the founding and growth of his church north of the Canadian-American border. He spoke of the days when he and Vivian first opened their home for a weekly Bible study, knocking on each neighbor's door many times. He shared how they joined several volunteer groups and clubs in the city, always keen to share their faith and invite people to their home. They frequented coffee shops, making casual conversation with those nearby. When they saw a need, they tried to fill it as a token of friendship. Always they were in prayer, asking the Lord to guide their steps and lead them to people hungry to know about God. Mac told his peers about the free Saturday car wash they used to have at a neighborhood gas station, no donations requested. How little by little they became known and accepted in the community, and eventually had several opportunities to speak at length about their Bible and prayer night. Mac and Vivian invested much of their time in the lives of those keen to learn of the Lord, and soon a powerful small nucleus of people evolved. Mac and Vivian were quick to respond to their needs, whether it be babysitting or cutting a widow's lawn or helping to build a backyard shed, and those people responded to their acts of love by shouldering church responsibilities. Mac spoke of their move from their house to a vacant school, and from there to the existing building.
Everyone listened intently as he spoke of the details of the building project, crediting the ladies' prayer group that undergirded every detail of the project. He told how a retired couple from the church searched the internet for bargains and sometimes traveled great distances in a moving van, supplied by another member businessman, to transport various items to the building site. Everything from pews to nails to lumber to carpets to paint. And a very old, very damaged, yet supremely magnificent pulpit, attained at a good price from an eastern state. The stately podium originated in England, thought to have been built during the Reformation, and eventually found a home in a towering cathedral overlooking an ocean harbor. When the cathedral became a quaint and pricey restaurant, the pulpit became a butcher block, and remained so until finally rescued by the retired couple from Bryden Falls Community Christian Center. A plumber contractor volunteered to restore the podium at his ranch, where he and his family spent many hours repairing, sanding, and varnishing. They installed lights at the base, giving a dramatic effect to both the pulpit and the preacher. A microphone and attachments to the sound system, and a switch to operate the overhead ceiling lights. Mac, tongue-in-cheek, shared his concern that the people were more attracted to the pulpit than his preaching. He and the plumber set the pulpit in place, connected it to the sound system and overhead lights, and thoroughly polished it, the very last task of the building project. Mac spoke of other outreach ventures into the community, including the More Lord Worship Band, explaining the name was chosen by the young people years ago to express their heart's cry for more. More grace, more blessings, more of the Lord's presence. He shared that his son was chosen this year's captain of the worship band and his daughter lead vocalist, and about the opportunity the band had to perform at the Bryden Falls annual festival in 2 weeks' time. And then he spoke of the challengers. Every minister in attendance had at least some baseball in his history, and found Mac's account about a Canadian church team competing in an American secular men's league nothing less than fascinating. They laughed heartily when Mac told them how the Americans would be thoroughly disgusted with themselves whenever they lost to a church team, a Canadian church team. He relayed how they had a chance to make the playoffs for the first time, but needed to win the final two games, both to be played next week. And then he delivered his closing remarks. The real key to building a successful church is to love the people. To love the people, you must love each person. Everyone is attracted to love. Love them, and they will search you out. Love them, and they will return that love. Everyone craves acceptance. Hurt and lonely people will visit your church in their search for someone to accept them. They will return if they feel welcomed and not simply tolerated. Rejection is the ugly foundation of most personality problems. For many, you will be the most influential person in their lives. If they sense rejection from you, they will be further damaged. People know instinctively when they are loved and when they are not. More than wanting you to be competent, even more than wanting you to be upright, they want to know that you love them. Do you love me? Is the real concern of their hearts, though they would never ask the question. Do you love me? Will you stand by me? Will you invest yourself in my life? Do you really care about the outcome of my life? They will find the answer in the way you relate to them. No one wants to be treated professionally. No one wants to feel they are somebody's ministry. In a few minutes, we will be sharing communion, and in an hour or so, the conference will be over, and the support and strength we receive from each other will be interrupted for 2 long years. It is time to return home. Like the captain of a ship, like the manager of a firm, like the coach of a team, we will be with many, yet much alone. May you and I remain committed to the godly principles of the denomination we cherish. May we gladly pay the price, whatever that price might be,
to protect the flock entrusted to our care. May your success in ministry surpass my own. God bless you. Mac was taken aback by the applause, light as it was. A preacher approved by preachers was a compliment indeed, and Mac was moved. No one else had received more than an occasional amen, including the superintendent. Mac knew he touched their hearts. And yet he felt hollow. When preparing his talk, he dismissed sharing the frustration he was experiencing with his church back home. "You know," he didn't say, "I am really feeling like a failure. Church attendance has not increased for years. It takes all of my energy just to keep the numbers from falling. I try very hard. I preach my heart out and the people are resistant to my best efforts. They will not be motivated like in past years. Something's missing and I don't know what it is. The joy is gone. The enthusiasm isn't half what it used to be. The women's prayer group seems to have lost its power. And my brothers, I am tired, close to burnout. Sometimes I want to walk away from it all. Just walk away. Is there someone who can help me?"
Sunday, June 3rd, 2007, 11:25 a.m. In the audience before Tanner were the entire Challengers team, customers, the board of elders, fellow ushers, most of his family, and many friends. Tanner knew he was upsetting many, yet he didn't flinch, didn't soften his tone, didn't retract from saying it the way he seen it. It is a serious mistake to approvingly compare yourselves to other evangelical Christians. Compromise has become a way of life for most evangelicals. Vivian Macklin was steaming. "He's undermining my husband's credibility. My husband, my foolish husband, entrusts a plumber with his congregation and the man stabs him in the back." Rare is the evangelical who lives by the sole authority of the Bible. Rare is the evangelical who speaks the name of Christ daily or even weekly. You must understand that being a typical evangelical Christian is being a half-hearted Christian. Being a typical evangelical is being a half-hearted Christian. The sin of the world is rejecting Christ. The sin of the church is neglecting Christ. The sin of the world is rejecting Christ. The sin of the church is neglecting Christ. Evangelicals ignore Jesus. Christ is but a symbolic Lord within evangelicalism. You cannot rely upon evangelicalism to help you. Lukewarm Christians can only produce lukewarm Christians. "He is inferring my husband is a lukewarm Christian," Vivian concluded. Evangelicalism was instrumental in bringing you from a rich relationship with Christ to an impotent religion. It is not able to bring you back from religion to relationship. Now he's saying, "My Terry has made this congregation lukewarm." This is slanderous. Vivian Macklin would take no more. Mrs. Waters ceased playing when she noticed the pastor's wife slowly and deliberately stand and make her way to the center aisle. Vivian held her head high, her anger obvious to all, as she walked the red carpet to the foyer, making no attempt to soften the click, click, click of her high heels. Through the foyer doors, through the heavy metal outside door, the click, click, click became a clack, clack, clack when she came to the outside concrete vestibule and descended the concrete steps. Although Kyle was startled at his mother's exit, there was no questioning his loyalty, and he immediately followed her. He gave his twin a, "Well, aren't you coming?" look, but Katie remained seated. In the silence, all could hear the driver's door slam shut, then the passenger door, the start of the engine, and the Macklin car speed noisily out of the parking lot and into the street. In the subsequent silence, there was a blend of disbelief and fear and confusion and anger. What now? You cannot depend on evangelicalism to help you. Amen. David Thomas's loud amen seemed to be an attempt to neutralize the effect of Mrs. Macklin's demonstrative exit. When Donald Williamson turned to give a disapproving frown to his fellow elder across the aisle, Mrs. Thomas came to her husband's defense. "Amen," she said in an equally loud voice. Your relationship with Christ is a personal matter. You are not to follow the crowd. You are not to have a herd mentality. You are to have a Christ mentality. You are to possess a Christ mentality. You are to possess a Christ mentality. My brothers and sisters, Jesus would say to you this morning, come follow me. Is it so difficult to understand that it is possible to be saved and yet need to be converted again to Jesus Christ? Vivian Macklin's exit had stoked Donald Williamson's anger into fury, causing the plumber's comments to bug him all the more. Now he is telling us Christians, we all have to be converted to Christ. He resisted the temptation to follow the pastor's wife out of the building. I guarantee you, Mr. Plummer, you will not be preaching next Sunday. You will never address this assembly again. Pastor Mack won't allow it. I won't allow it. Because you were converted yesterday is no assurance you are converted today. Amen, said several. Every amen was significant, an indication they were taking the side of the plumber against the stare straight ahead protesters, as well as the pastor's wife. If your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ has become dull, you need another conversion experience. You need to be converted again. During Reuben's entire oration, Jenny was in prayer. Prayer that increased in fervency when Vivian made her departure, and more so as the amens popped up in various niches in the church. Jenny was the only person there who grasped the full import of the moment. Her beloved assembly was being irreversibly split in two. You would be wise to recommit your life to Christ. You would be wise to recommit your life to Christ. You once chose Christ, choose Him again. Repent of your lukewarmness. Apologize to the Lord Jesus for your betrayal and unfaithfulness. My brothers and sisters, I am suggesting that you repent. Humble yourselves and repent. You can have a better life than the one you now have. You can have a better life than the one you now have. With sincere repentance comes a much better life. With Christ comes peace. You want peace. With Christ comes joy. You want joy. You want joy. If you return to Christ, you will be part of the answer instead of part of the problem. Parents, you will affect your children positively instead of negatively. Jesus is right now calling you into a deep and fruitful relationship with Him. You would be wise to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. You would be wise to recommit your life to Jesus Christ.